Her up. I mean, what a day that will be. Man, you can't get excited. I know we're in Maine, it's hard to excite. Let's get excited about Jesus, man. I mean, Michael, do you remember that day when he came and saved you? Do you remember that day? Not only, listen, but that day's going to come, we'll see him face to face. Man, that gets me excited. The one who died for me, the one who gave all so I can have all. Well, I just get excited. It gets me riled up, and I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank God for the work that he's doing in my and my family's life, not only in the ministry. Everybody knows Dale and Amy by Liberty Behind Bars Ministry, but beyond Liberty Behind Bars Ministry, there is a family called the Morey family, okay? And there are people in that family called Dale, Amy, Luke, and Otto, okay? And in that family, God does a work in that family. Everybody equates us to Liberty Behind Bars, but they don't realize that God is still working in that family behind Liberty Behind Bars, okay? And so we want to thank God for that, and thank you for your prayers. Please don't just pray for Liberty Behind Bars Ministry. Pray for the Morey family in Liberty Behind Bars Ministry, okay? For the strength, for those spiritual things that we have to face, for the travelings and so on and so forth. And God has really been doing a work in me and my family's life, and I thank God for it. Why is he doing that? Because God has to purge. Understand this Christian walk. God will allow things in your life, Brother Cobb, that when you first get saved, he'll leave some things in your life. But there comes a point in time in your maturity, there becomes a point in time in your life where he says, that has to go now. You see, he's purging something that he was okay with at one time. But now he says, in order for you to mature, in order for you to move forward in your Christian walk, you have to get this thing out of your life. And thank God for purging. Thank God for a God who loves us so much that he doesn't just leave us out there to straggle along. And you know, the thing is, we have to see it. Brother, we have to have open, we have to have willing eyes to see what God wants us to see. And sometimes those things are very hard to see. But thank God for it. So we thank you for your prayers. We thank you for coming here. It's like coming home, man. I mean, honest and goodness, Miss Jean, she just goes out of her way. Very well taken care of there. Very comfortable there. We thank God for coming here and seeing your faces. Some of you don't know this, but there are some of you in this room that I pray every single week for. I want you to know that, my friend. I set a time apart from God just for you to call out your name, that he would help you with whatever you're going through, my friend. I just want you to know, I want to encourage you in that. And I want to exhort you that there are people in here that I pray for on a weekly basis. Why? Because I see that God has to do a work. There's something in their life that he wants to work. There's something that he wants them to see. There's something that he wants them to have. Well, you pray for one another. Brother Jeremy, you got up here and said it. Pray for your pastor. He's over there preaching in another church. You know what happens? Sometimes we get disgruntled. My pastor leaves. I go, well, he's not going to be here on a Sunday. We say, well, let's pray for him. But in our heart, that's not what we're really saying. In our heart, we're jealous over him. We want him to be behind this pole, but not that one. That's a reality of where we're at with our... Look, I get it. Because there's times that my pastor's had to leave and he goes out and he preaches in another church. And I say, you know, we got to pray for our pastor while he's out there. But in my heart, that's not what I'm really thinking. In my heart, I'm thinking, why is he at another church and not here? And so when I go to pray for him, God's looking at them going, that's fame. That's fake. It's not real. David said in Psalm 17, Lord, let the prayer that comes out of my mouth not be feign, not be pretend. Let's not let it be something that I'm just saying because I'm saying it with my mouth. But that's not how my heart really feels. You ought to pray for the man of God tonight. You want to support him, not just in prayer. You ought to show up at 5 o'clock at that meeting tonight. Support the man of God. Support your pastor. Why? It's a good thing. Well, look, God has given me a message for a member in this church. And that member is sitting here today. This is a message I've never preached before. It's a message that I've never come across in any churches. This thing got set aside and it's been sitting there, and I said, Lord, you let me know where I'm supposed to preach this message. And that message sat there for probably a month and a half, 2 months, untouched. And then I looked at it one day and I go, man, Lord, I forgot that message is there. And the Lord goes, I didn't. I want you to bring that to New Life Baptist Church. And I want you to preach it at this member. Matter of fact, that member is sitting here among us today. Turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and we'll just spend a few minutes here specifically about this member of the church. They're here today, but also the member that's sitting in this church is also found in the Bible. We're going to see that in James chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 3 when you get there. Hey, Brother Scott, if you could do me a favor, could you pray for this service?
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Brother Maury being here today. We ask that you would work through him to bring the message that you need for us here today. We just ask your blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. James chapter 3, look what it says here. And it says, behold. Anytime you see the word behold in your King James Bible, he's saying there's a serious matter that's about to be brought forth. Stop and take a look. Clear your mind. Look at, forget about what's outside these walls right now. Forget about whatever struggles you're going through, whatever sicknesses are going on. Forget about it and hear the word of God. Many times we come in here and we sit in the church and everything from the world gets into our hearts, it gets into our minds, and we hear nothing that the preacher had to say. We're so full of the world. So full of the cares and concerns. Here's what I want you to do. When you have service in the church here, before you come in, just leave everything at the door. Amen. Come in expecting God to show up. It's not about who's standing behind the pulpit. It's about what's coming out of this book. So many men are, you know what's going on today? Man worship. I can't stand man worship. If you ever come to a service to hear me, go back home. Amen. Come to hear what God has to say. Amen. Everybody wants to follow a man, to follow a man. Don't follow a man in that aspect. Don't put him on a high pedestal. If the man's preaching the word of God, he's got power on his life, of course you want to hear what he's got to say. But you can't hear what needs to be said because you bring the world in here. Any of you pray before service? Do you get up and read your Bible and make sure that your heart is right with God? You expect to walk in here carnally? You expect to walk in here in the flesh and hear what God has to say to you? You expect to walk in here knowing that you have ought against somebody else and hear what God has to say? He says, behold, push everything out. Push it all to the side. He says, behold. Also, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their a whole body. He says, this little thing that we put in their mouth, it turns the whole body. And verse 4, he says, behold, again he tells us to pay attention. He says, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by force winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Verse 5, even so the tongue is what? A little member. That's the member that's sitting in this church today. It's your mouth. It's your tongue. Quite frankly, God is tired of people's mouth always running. He's tired of the tongue, the backbiting, going up to a person, shaking their hand, saying something out of their mouth, and it's fake. It's fake. It's a pretend thing. You're hiding what you really are by the words that come out of your mouth. It's fake. And that member destroys churches. It's destroying churches. It's destroying the fellowship that a person can have because all they know is to run their mouth on somebody else. I have never in my life traveled around to so many churches and all I hear is people talking about other people. God forbid if that continues to go on in this church. It's going to destroy fellowship. It's going to destroy the power of God that wants to come in here and do a work in people's lives.
Well, I'm a man. I'm my own man.
Then go talk about the problem that you have with somebody instead of doing it behind their back.
Amen.
Go to your husband, ladies, and bring it to somebody. That's how the Bible instructs us to take care of it. But what do? We run that little member. We run our mouth. We run people down with our mouths. And think that God is okay with it. We come to a point in our Christian life that we think God is okay with what we do and how we treat people with our mouth. Look, you can be kind to somebody outwardly, but inside it's a fake. That little member that's sitting in this church will destroy this church. Why? Because it spreads like wildfire. When one does it, the next one. Let me just say this. That person that's running their mouth about another person, they're also running their mouth about you.
That's right.
That's a fact.
That's
right. And it's a shame what we're allowing the member of our mouth to do. Let's go on and see what it says here. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. What a fire is spread through. One's talking about another, then the next one's talking about another, the next one's talking about another, and then in our hearts we're talking about how, well, where's our pastor? How come he's not here? If God didn't want your pastor doing what he's doing, he'd be here.
That's right. That's right.
Instead of complaining about it and running your mouth about it, like I know that goes on, you got to be praying about it.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
I know you want your pastor, but look, that's not your business. That's God's business.
That's right.
This is what we do, though. One to another, to another, to another, to another, to another. It's a little fire that spreads. Well, verse 6. Look at what it says here in verse 6. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth not just one person, but the whole body. You understand? One person talking in this church will defile the whole body. Well, who cares about that anymore? It's a disease, brother, that's running in churches when I travel around. It's all we see. It's all we hear. And then guess what happens? There's a division. All of a sudden, this person's going to sit here. This person, we're not going to talk to that person there. We're not going to talk to the family in the back. And we expect the world to come in here and see that we're just Christian. You know what we're doing? We run our mouth awfully well. You know, we're Pharisees. We become Pharisees in our Christian walk, and the world is out there watching, and they're looking, and they're seeing. Why would I want to go to a place that does the same thing that's already going on in my life? Why do lost people want to come in and get the same thing in here as they would out there? You know how the world's supposed to tell us apart, brother? Love one another. First John. Go read First John. All of First John says, you know how you can tell the work of the people that are of the devil and the people that are of God? If they love one another. You can't love somebody to keep talking behind their back. You can't go out there, spread a fire behind their back, and then look at them in their face and say, I love you. That's not what you ought to be telling. What you ought to say is, hey, look, I'm having a problem. We need to sit down and talk. And this is what's going on. This is how I feel. God help me, because you know what, brother or sister, I don't want to feel that way. But I went out there and I run my mouth, and now the church has heard about how I feel about you. Let me just say this. Other church members are affected by that. Why? Because they're watching you. They've heard you run your mouth, and now they're watching you pretend to be something you're really not for the other person. It affects the whole body. They have young Christians who have to experience what older Christians call maturity. That's not mature Christians when you're running your mouth. Let me just say this, who's in control? We believe that God in Genesis spoke the world into existence. Every neutron, every atom, every galaxy, every Milky Way, every star was put in place by the word of God. He spoke it into existence. But yet he can't handle our minute problems? We have to run our mouth. He's such a big God to us that we have to run our mouth to somebody else because God can't handle it. That's how we live our life. Oh, we got to, well, my God is big. You can see in your actions just how big your God really is. It's about how big he is in that little box you put him in. Well, go on and look at what it says here. And the tongue is a fire, verse 6. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. You understand? It set on fire the course of the of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That tongue is from hell. Those things that we say are from the devil. It's not of God to go out there and run your mouth up. You go, brother, how do you know that? Because I've struggled with that in the past. And I've had to stop myself and go, my God, what am I doing? Who am I hurting? I can go up to this young man over here who's not been saved long, and I can say, hey, you know so-and-so, and man, I can watch out for them. The destruction that's going to cause him eventually in his life. Why? Because he's going to start doing it. He's going to start feeling that way about people. That's what we've taught him. You want to know why our churches are the way they are? Us older Christians taught them to be that. We teach the new converts how to act like us instead of how to act like Jesus. I know it's a funny thing that's happened back in the 90s. What would Jesus do? But we ought to take heed to that. What would he do? How would he really act? Because according to Romans 8:29, we're supposed to be less and less like ourselves and more like Jesus. Not running your mouth. That's a hard thing to do, Brother Kyle. I've never ran my mouth. I've always run my fist. And now God tells me to go up and talk. I don't like confrontation, man. I'm not, you know what I find out about myself? I'm not a confrontational person. I'm not a tough guy. I'm a man who's learning how to react on his not react on his emotions. Because for so many years I've been effeminate. For so many years I reacted on my emotions. And now God says, I don't want you to react on your, I want you to calm down. Go over there and handle that situation the way you're supposed to. But Lord, it's going to cause a confrontation. You go and handle that. Instead of going and handle that confrontation, you know what happens most of the time, brother? They run their mouth. And let that tongue spread the fires of hell in the church. But it doesn't always have to be that we're running our mouth outwardly. Jesus Christ says we're just as guilty in our heart. Our heart. Running our mouth in our heart about other people, about the pastor, about the deacons, about the soundboard guys, or whoever it is. We run our mouth in here. And all it does is cause division. I hate division in churches. We're supposed to be a unity. We're supposed to be a body. But that body, when one person starts doing it, it affects the whole body. God does not, that's not what God intended. Look at what it says in verse 7. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents of the things in the sea is tamed. It has been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. All creation does exactly what God told it to do. all creation except for us. The trees, the leaves, you don't have to tell them, hey, trees, I want the leaves fall off. God already told them to do that, and it does it naturally. The animals out there doing what they're doing. I mean, look, they're out there, they're hunting, and they're killing for food. God instructed them to do that. But yet, here we are. God's creation, he put us, it says that all animals were tamed by mankind. But you know what can't be tamed? Our tongue, our mouth.
Right. Well,
look what it says here in verse 8. I'll read that again. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And in verse 9 it says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse we men. How can you sit here and bless God and then go out there and cuss? Even your Christian swearing. People know what you mean. Don't replace Christians swear words with Christian swear words. They know what you mean. You might as well just come out and say it. Oh, bless God. Oh, F them and fork this and front that. It's all a bunch of nonsense. If you're going to cuss, just go out and cuss. Learn how to shut your mouth, man, and stop doing that nonsense. Why? Because the unsaved world is looking at us. They're listening to us. Stop playing church. Look at one of the hardest things you young men are going to have to face is going out there and being a real Christian in front of the world. I'm telling you right now, Walmart would be a hard place to do that at. There's everything in Walmart. But man, let me ask you this. What are they seeing in you? I often, and I don't say that because you two are working there. I often think of Walmart and how it would be if I worked in Walmart. How would I show myself a Christian in Walmart? Because man, I'm just telling you, there's a lot in that place.
Yep.
And what would people pick up on me? What would they pick up on me? If the lost world spent an hour with me somewhere, what would they figure out about me? You know what they're going to listen to? My mouth. When I meet a new person, often I'm very quiet. Why? I'm listening to them. I'm listening to their mouth. I'm going to find out immediately in 10 minutes where they stand, what they believe. And my goodness, some of the Christians that I've talked to and just sat there and listened to, I go, oh my goodness, Lord. In my head, I go, oh my goodness, Lord. This that mouth, those things that are coming out of that, this is a Christian today. If I was an unsaved person listening to that at work, if I was an unsaved person listening to a man who calls himself a Christian or a woman who calls herself a Christian and I'm listening to what's coming out of their mouth, that is Christianity? That's what they're thinking in their heart? And I'm talking about people who fill the church pews, my friend. I'm not talking about some straight, I'm talking about church people that I'm conversating with. And the things, the defilement, the filthiness that comes out of their mouth. And they think they're okay with it. Why? Here's what happens. People often equate good things. Every good thing is from God. Every good gift is from God.
That's right. Amen.
You better discern that. Good things can come from the devil as well. Why? Because he's tricking you. Every good gift is from above. Not every good thing. But you often get that confused, and people say, well, things are going good in my life, and this door's opening, and that door, and I got to be real careful that this is really from God. I got to be real careful because people across the United States, they would love to have me come in and give my testimony, but I don't do that, bro. I'm not their clown. I'm not your circus. I'm not going in there just because somebody thinks I belong there. I'm going to go there because God believes I belong there. And I'm going to tell you this now. Every good thing, just because Liberty Behind Bars is financially stable, doesn't mean we're doing the right thing with God. I want you to know that. That's not a proof that the ministry is going well. What's proof that the ministry is going well? Number one, the Bible's being preached to those men and women. Number two, those men and women's lives are being changed, are being saved. And number three, there's a work going on in the family that's behind it. That's the success. It's not the good things. It's the gifts that God gives here. Or, brother, I'll tell you what, people are so confused because they no longer look for spiritual things as the blessing. They look for the physical things as the blessing. Well, this must be from God because it's good. No discernment. No discernment. Well, that was a freebie. We'll be finished here. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse with men, verse 9, which are made after the similitude of God. You understand that every single person, no matter what you think about them, is made after the likeness of God. And yet we go out there and treat them like filthy dogs. I don't care if they're in prison. I don't care if they're on the street. I don't care. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you treat your neighbor like you would treat yourself? Be real. Be honest. Do you? No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't. Well, are they wearing the shoes you wear? Are they driving the car you drive? That's what he tells us to do. But yet we give them second best halftime when we feel like it, when we see him. You know, maybe we'll wave to him or whatever else. Love thy neighbor as thyself is what it tells us. That's an instruction that we fail on. And we run our mouth like we really care about people. Like we're really doing something for people. When's the last time you went without money for somebody else? When's the last time you went without food for somebody else? When's the last time you sacrificed your time? And your, look, I gotta go home because I need to be with my wife and my kid. When's the last time you gave that up to go to somebody else? It hurts. It hurts when you have to do what Jesus Christ did. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a place to always eat. But he was out there helping others. His concerns was about other people. We run our mouth like we really care about others. But when do we really give up us for them? You see, our mouth can boast a lot of things, like the Bible says. It boasts of a lot of things. Well, I do this and I do that. But let me ask you this. How much of that is being taken out of your comfort zone? How uncomfortable are you being having to do that? Let me just say, you think it's comfortable coming here? Do you think it's comfortable to drive in a car for 10 hours to come here with the back pain, the neck pain, the thing that's going on in my life, leaving my son back home, leaving those things that I need? You think it's comfortable? You think it's a joke? You think I just come here for a vacation? You come travel with us for a while. You'll see what ministry really is. It ain't what you got drummed up in your head. I'm talking about a real ministry that's doing real work. I don't come in here and boast on what I do. I'm coming to boast on what Jesus Christ does. It's what Jesus Christ is doing in the ministry. If you ever confuse me and my family with Jesus Christ, you need to look again. And if I've done that, I'm sorry. Because this ministry is not built off of me or anything that I do. It's built on Jesus Christ and nothing less. God forbid if I ever boast any other way. I boast on Jesus Christ and for what he's done. But yet we run our mouths like we just do all this and we do all that. That hurts people. As a young Christian man that I'm only 12 years old in the Lord. But I remember hearing people boast all the time and hear them talk about all this stuff all the time. And then I would look at them and realize that, man, that's not really what they are. That tore my heart out. To see that somebody would just say those things and not ever live them. They would never give up their comfort. They would never give up those things that Jesus Christ says to care about. Your last $10 in your pocket, man. You see somebody go, well, you know, he might go out there and spend it on drugs. Tell me where God tells you to think that. Well, you know, maybe I shouldn't because. What? God knows. God, do you not know that God, if he goes out there and buys a dime rock of crack cocaine, God knew that, but you wouldn't give it to him. You go, man, you're crazy, am I? People have been saved on less. Well, don't run your mouth unless you're really going to do it. When ministry becomes uncomfortable, you're doing it right. When you're suffering persecution, you understand there's a suffering when you're out there in the ministry. It's not an easy thing to be out there in the ministry. People are going to come at you. They're going to test you and things. They're going to say things to you. Things are going to go on and happen to you. Well, Proverbs chapter 10. Look at what it says here in Proverbs chapter 10. As we just a few more verses here. I told you this is for a member of the church. We all have a member sitting in the church pew. It's our mouth. You go, well, you know, I don't always, or, you know, I'm not that mean. Oh, it does a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. If you're here today and you don't think that you run your mouth on somebody, whether it be verbally or in your heart, God forbid that you just lie to yourself. Because there's not a one of us sitting in this room that don't do it. And if you don't do it, God bless you. Come to me and tell me how I can not do it. You go, what do you mean? Because God gave me this message. He was showing me about my member. He was showing me about my mouth. You know, with my mouth, Brother Jared, I tried to take God's glory with my mouth. You know, I used to boast on my past life to get glory out of that instead of giving glory to what Jesus Christ done for me. You see, my testimony was supposed to be a good thing. And it wasn't a good thing because I glorified my past instead of glorifying what Jesus Christ has done and is doing. My mouth was doing that. And God says, shut your mouth. Glorify me. If he don't get all the honor and praise, we've done nothing. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse 31 and 32. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lip of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Frowardness is to go against what is demanded. It's to go against what is reasonable. It's to go against something that's evil and perverse. And it may be just a simple thing that you might not agree with in the church. And you turn against that. And you talk. That's a froward heart. That's a froward mouth. And he goes on to say that a person who has wisdom will keep their mouth closed. Stop always talking about everything that goes on and go confront it. Go take care of it. Go take care of it with God. Because why? Because a man who knows or a woman who knows will just shut their mouth and go and take care of that thing and let God bring it to fruition. Can he not handle that? Instead, what do? We go out there with that mouth. We go out there with that member. We cause divisions and we cause things that shouldn't happen. God help us, he says. To be forward is to go against what is demanded. It's one who runs their mouth and goes against the pastor, goes against the church, goes against the leaders, goes against the congregation, and goes against those things which are good. That's somebody with a forward mouth. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1. All the way back in the New Testament. Titus chapter 1. Look what it says here. Titus chapter 1, and we'll start in. New Bible pages are sticking. Titus chapter 1, we'll start in verse 15 and 16. 15 and 16. Look what it says here. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. What does reprobate mean? Everybody's got that word, reprobate, confused. Reprobate means it's the thoughts that you have that Jesus Christ rejects. He rejects your thoughts. He rejects those things that you have to say that are against what he has to say. It's against whatever. If you're a reprobate against this Bible, when you go against what Jesus Christ has to say, you're a reprobate in that. And he says, they profess to know God, yet by their works. Now, what does that mean? That means they're running their mouth. And yet you look at them and you go, man, they talk a good talk. Well, surely they don't walk that walk. Enough of the talking. Enough of running our mouths. It's time to get down and do. Look, we're in the last days. You hear your own pastor preaching about the Laodicean church age. Man, what a message she had on that. I love that. I remember hearing that in Buffalo. And I've never forgotten about that. And I think it was him. Where everybody says that, you know, in the Laodicean church age, in Revelation chapter 3, there's Jesus Christ knocking on the door. Everybody says that's the heart of a person. That is not the heart of a person. You leave that in context, and what is that? That's Jesus on the outside of the church knocking to get back in. Because in the last days, we've kicked Jesus out of church, and we've taken it over. Jesus is saying today at New Life Baptist Church, can I come in? Are we done running with the mouth? Are we done saying that we live godly, but look, people are looking at you to think? If I was to ask people in here today to be honest about the other people that are in this church and how many people you think are fake, there were people in this church who would raise their hand and say, yes, I believe that person is fake by what they do. I guarantee it. I guarantee there's not a church that I haven't been in that I could not do that in. Not one. Not even my own church. Why? Because people profess. Yet by their works, they show something totally different. Totally different. Proverbs chapter 4. You know, when I preach, I like to do some Bible exercise. Bible exercise is good. Two things about Bible exercise, and I'm not saying this against anybody or saying you do it. Two things about Bible exercise, it gets you to know your Bible. And number two, it keeps you awake. I'm just saying, I've never seen so many people in my life take naps in church. Older people, sick people, I get it, man. They're going to fall asleep sometimes. Except for you, she never falls asleep. She's always listening. But I'm just telling you, it helps keep people awake when you make them turn in the Bible. If you're that tired, go to bed early, right? Because we are in the house of God. We are coming to hear what's important. Right? If we're sitting there and we're watching TV or whatever thing you like to do, you surely can stay awake with that. We ought to stay awake during church. Well, look at what it says here, Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20. I'm not saying that for somebody who work overnight shifts, and I get that, man. There are exceptions to that. But for us average people who say they love God and want to hear God, to come and take a nap in church, it blows my mind. You go, you've never done that after surgeries? I sat there a few days. You know, I've had 16 back surgeries. I had my back split wide open. 2 days later, I'm sitting in church. Why? Because I'd rather be underneath the preaching of the Word of God than sit home. Look, I don't come to church because I have to. If you come here because you think you have to, shame on you. You should come here because you want to. Church is not something I do. It's who I am. When I got saved, it became who I am. It's not some. If I ever get into that the attitude of I got to go to church because I have to, because so and so might think this or so, who cares about any of that nonsense? Come here to hear what God has to say. So many people want to leave church. They go, well, so-and-so, is talking this. I can't handle that kind of stuff. But yet they'll go to the store when people are doing it all day long. You better not go shopping then. You better not go work then. Why? Because that's all going on there. They want to leave church. Don't leave church. Stay here. Come and hear what God. Do you know if you worried less about what people thought about you, you'd be more apt to stay in the church?
Amen.
But because everybody's so worried about everybody and what they got to speak about, what they care, who cares about all that nonsense? Anyway, look at this. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 20. My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. And verse 21 says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. He's saying, look, all these words, these words were not just written for us just to read and look at. We're to live these things. These are instructions for us to put to use in our life. God gave us an instruction manual on how to run this Christian life. Stop thinking you know how to run your Christian life. When you take control, you're telling God your word comes second place. Man, do you know how many times God had to slap me on my throat? Go! Get out of there. That's my job. Brother, being in the ministry, God has put me in a position to help him make decisions, to follow his lead. God forbid when I start getting on that throne thinking I know better than that book. Who am I? He says, keep those things that you've heard in the front of your heart. You know what the problem is today? Nobody's putting it in their heart anymore. Here's where they're putting everything, brother. It's all about knowledge. It's all about how much you know. People are going to go to hell with how much they know. I don't care if you know 1,000 verses. If you can't live one of them, it's no good to God. Brother, you can know 1,000,000 verses. And if you can't live one of them, it's no good to God. He'd rather you know one verse and be able to live it than to know that whole entire book and not live it. It's why he gave it to us, for us to live, that follows those instructions. Why? Because we are human beings with a sin nature who were at one point in need of Christ, yes or no? Were you not in need of Jesus? Yes. Then what makes you think that since you got saved, you can still run your own life? Right. Oh, we love Jesus so much. Then what? Do you include him in everything? How about buying a car? Buying a house, or should we build this, or should we do that? Should I work here? Should I marry her? Should I marry him? I mean, are you including all this stuff? Are you including Jesus Christ in these things? Or are you just taking it upon yourself to say, well, this looks like a good thing. This must be from God. I know a young lady who thought she met the man that God was going to give her. And she had to break it off with him because she realized that's not the one. Why? Because she started praying about it for real. She started including Christ in something, and his mercy, he showed her. Now it hurt her, right? She was heartbroken over that. But thank God that she didn't marry the wrong one. Yeah. You know why divorces are so prevalent in church today? Because they look so good. They say, well, it must be from God. And then next thing you know, it's hateful. How many young ladies I hear say, I want to be a mother, and I want to be a wife. And as soon as the babies start coming out, as soon as she has to help take care of her husband and those babies, she becomes very hateful. Why? Because she was saying it here, not here. It was never in her heart. It wasn't in her heart, it was with her mouth. That's why he says you take, when you hear these things, keep them in the front of your heart. Let the instruction come. Look, it can be a good thing or it can be a negative thing. You can run your mouth outwardly or you can run your mouth in your heart. He says, take these things, and he goes, pray on them. And let's continue on real quick. It says in verse 22, he says, for they are the life of those that find them and health to their flesh. Don't you want that? Don't you want the health to your flesh? Don't you want the life? Look at this life in Jesus Christ. It's not a burden. It's a wonderful thing. Sure, there's hard times, but we have Christ to go through them. There's life in this. Look, you go, man, you get excited. Why wouldn't I get excited? Don't you remember where God brought you from? Or maybe you just didn't get that low. Or maybe you just didn't realize how much you really needed Jesus. Maybe it's just people like me that needed to realize that. I don't care if you grew up in church. You needed Jesus just as much as I did. There ain't no one going to punch that ticket for free. Autumn, You needed your own salvation. You can't ride my coattail because I'm in church. She would have busted hell wide open with that nonsense. She needed to be saved just as much as I did. She never went out there and drank a lick of beer. She never cursed outwardly. Most of you young men, you think you went to the altar with purity because you were a physical virgin, but your eyes are defiled. Eyes are defiled. Why? The pornography. How about that woman when you're standing in any church or any store, that woman who's standing there in a bathing suit? Oh, that, is that innocent? Oh, that's adultery and fornication in your heart. But you know how they treat it? Like it's okay. One thing I do, and I'm going to tell you young men this. If I see a picture of a woman in a bathing suit, underwear, anything like that, first thing I do is say, Lord, I am sorry because you know my eyes are drawn to that stuff. Forgive me. They're beautiful. Help me to have eyes only for my wife. Do you know that I will not have any kind of any kind of sexual contact with my wife because I've seen that picture? I won't bring that to bed with my wife. My wife is not that girl. I won't defile my wife in that way. You go, are you really like that? I'm really like that. Why? Because I want me to have eyes for her. That's the wife God gave me. I don't just run my mouth about things up here, guys. It's something that I work hard on living in. You young men, you want to keep your marriage fresh. You want to keep, look, she's never going to be that one. She'll be exactly the one God gave you. And for 21 years now, me and my wife have been on our honeymoon. 21 years. With that going on 22. Why? Because we let God build the marriage. Easy? Nope. Two defiled people. Two hurt people. Most of you didn't have to worry about that type of defilement. But if you did, you know that God heals. He works miracles. Well, put away from thee the froward mouth and the perverse lips. Excuse me, I skipped one. Verse 23. Keep thine heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee the froward mouth and the perverse lips. Put it far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on it, and let thy eyelids look straight on before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. God help you younger people today and what you have to face. I sit back and look at today at those people that are facing addiction and jail time, and those young people that are in churches like you young men and young ladies out there, and you have to live in a world like this. My son and what he's been through going through college. Wow. Look it. Wow. Why do you say it? Because if you don't have this instruction in your heart, you won't make it. This world will tear you apart. It wants to take you from everything that you've ever known. The devil's out there and he's making that stuff look real good. Go read Proverbs chapter 7. If you were in that youth class that I taught a few years ago, Proverbs chapter 7, you go look at what the world's making itself look like to you. You young men, check your hearts right now, because you know for sure in your mind and in your heart that that world is attractive to you. When you're out there working and that music is playing, oh my goodness, man, it does something to your heart. Why? Because the Word of God needs to be put in place of it. I know, because I walk in those stores and those old songs are playing. I just did it to my daughter the other day. We were talking about music and how the devil uses it, and then all of a sudden I went and played something from the past and I bragged on it to my daughter. Oh, what a shame. What a shame. What did I do? I planted that seed in her. It seemed so innocent, didn't it? Well, that's who I used to be. I'm giving her my testimony. Oh, that's a lie straight from hell. I planted a seed in her that I should have never done it. Young people, watch it. Because the world, through the music, the world, through the little innocent pictures on magazines, trying to plant a seed in you and tell you it's okay. It's not. It's not. It'll take you. It makes it look real innocent. Oh, I go to church and, you know, I read my Bible. Wonderful. But if it ain't keeping you from those things, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And I mean a serious trouble. I got two more, then we're done. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12. Proverbs 6, verse 12. Look what it says here. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a what? Did he say feet? No. A froward mouth. A perverse mouth. That's how it walks. That's, people know them by your mouth. People will know you by your mouth. People at work will know you by how you talk. People on the outside will know you. Your parents will know you by the way you talk, unless you're hiding it. One of the traps that my kids have had is that their dad's an ex-convict. And I see things normally that other people don't see. It's a gift God has given me. And I try not to use it much, but God has given me a gift of what, get just that discernment about what people are doing. I look at faces in here and I can see. You ain't pulling the wool over my eyes. I can see it. Okay? And I try not to do that. But what did it just say here? They're walking with a forward mouth. Here I'm going to say that I'm this, but yet I'm doing this. Here, you know, mom or dad might confront me about something, and I say, blah, 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 but yet you just did this. And somebody walking with a forward mouth, they're going against that which is right. They're going against that which is, they're doing evil things, even though it may not seem like it's a big, it doesn't take, the devil didn't start off with a big thing. One little question. Yea, hath God said. That's all it took. All it takes is one little thing. Go on there and look at it says. We're almost done. Don't hang in there. Therefore shall the calamity come suddenly. Suddenly. It shall be broken without remedy. That terror is going to come. That destruction of the life is going to come. I know. Listen to me. Listen. I can start a ministry right now, brother. For liberty behind bars. In jails and prisons. And rehabs. From Baptist children who went out there astray. Grew up in church. Born. And the very first place they went was a Sunday service. I mean, their whole entire life has been spent in church. We're burying them. They're dying. They're putting needles in their arms. Most of them without Christ, and they're going to hell. They've grown up in church. You know why? That can't happen to me. Oh, you don't have an S on your chest. You're not Superman. You're not Wonder Woman. You're young and strong and you're physically fit. No, that don't mean nothing to the devil. That don't mean nothing to this world. That don't mean nothing to this sin nature. Understand this. You can't fight that battle on your own. You better bring God into every single thing that you have. You better bring Him into it. Bring them into it. You go, why are you preaching this stuff to us? Get mad at God, not me. I didn't come, look at this is what I have. I got verses written down. I don't have any notes. God's changed up my preaching. God says, Dale, I want you to stop writing stuff down. I want you to write verses down and preach them. That's all I'm doing. I have nothing. You can check. There's nothing. That's what I'm going to preach. I have nothing next to us. Why? Because it's the word of God. It's not about me. The word of God. It's not about our word. Well, I want to close with this. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Go to verse 13. We're going to close. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy. And an evil way and a froward mouth do I hate. You know, God hates that member that's in our mouth. He hates the way we speak. He hates the way
We do things with our mouth. He hates the way we lead our life with our mouth. He hates the way that we brag on things and boast on things. God is not in us boasting on what we do. You see, when Jesus Christ bought us, and we lost our purpose. It's about his purpose now. He's got a purpose in us. Let me ask you this. When is the last time anybody ever did a study on what's pleasing to God? You know why, brother? Because we're always worried about God pleasing us. Ain't that crazy how we got that mixed up? And yet the very one that died for us, we don't even bother to go and look and see what's pleasing to him. Fasting, anybody fasting in here? I'm fasting for your pastor. The leadership, Nick, traveling around in his ministry, you fasting for that man? You fasting for his family and his wife? How about one another? How about whatever you're running your mouth on, whatever is in your heart, are you fasting that God would step in and help that situation? You see, because we say they're important to us.
That's good right there. That's good.
Is it important? Check your heart and see what's really important. Look, don't force God's hand to start taking things away for you to realize. I'm not going to get too much into this. I'm going to take 2 seconds to tell you this. For 4 years, me and my family have been in the ministry, 7 years. For 4 years, we've been in church. Oh, I mean, weeks and weeks on end. Almost every day you go, oh, you must get sick of it. No, we don't get sick of it. And for, you know what, all those 4 years, me and my wife, just, we were talking this morning, we've left God. We spiritually walked away from God. We spiritually said, we got this, Lord. We'll take you from here. For 4 years, we've walked on our own. And let me tell you about some hellish years as a Christian. But God has granted me and my family repentance today. You go, why do you tell your personal stuff? Because I know there's people in here the same way. God knows. That's why he brought that message. Why don't you get it right? Why don't you just surrender and say, you know what, Lord, I'm sick and tired of living for myself. Sick and tired of running my mouth. Sick and tired of thinking I know everything. Sick and tired of taking control of everything. Sick and tired of not listening to this book. Sick and tired of not living it. Sick and tired of not putting it in my heart. He don't care about your little 10-minute devotional and your 15-minute prayer, and that's what he gets for the day. He tells us to study as well as read. How important is God in our life? Young man, young woman, how important is he going to be in your marriage? I know, you got it. I know, I see it on your face. I got this, okay? You keep telling that, you keep saying that, and you don't bring Christ into that marriage, you won't have it. How do you know that? Just went through it with my wife. I had a man who fell in love with my wife. And I had to face that. How? Punch him in the face? No. I had to get on my knees and beg God to help me. And tears, I had to say, Lord, you know I have to go to church. He's an unsaved man. I don't want him to go to hell, Lord, but surely I don't want to take his head off of him. God help me. God help me. God help me. God help me. And I begged him, help me. And God said, when you give it up, I'll finally take it over. I finally had to come to that place where I said, man, I give up. God, I can't do it no more. I can't do it no more. How about yourself? Won't you do that today? I know there's a place in your life that you need to surrender to God. I know there's a place in your life you need to take that little pride and go ahead and cast that out and say, Lord, hide my pride from me because I think I have this. The devil thought he had it too, didn't he, Brother Scott? You know what it was? Pride cast him out, didn't it? The five, I think it's the five eyes of the devil in Isaiah chapter 14.
pride? Who's not suffering with pride in this room? If you say not me, you're a liar.
Yeah.
There's one thing we all can get on our face and beg God, please, I'm prideful. Please help me. How about it, people? It's up to you. You don't have to, but if you like to, come up to the altar and just get right with God about whatever's going on in your life. If you don't have anything, that's fine. Sit in your chair. Brother Jeremy, I think I'm supposed to turn it over to you, brother.